Amen. Good evening. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord on this day. This evening I'm going to speak to you in an area, and I don't mind being a little informal tonight, but I would like you, if you would, to take a look at Acts chapter 11, 26 in your Bibles. Acts 11, 26. It's amazing how God is always teaching us. He's faithful to do that. It says in verse 26, and when he had found them, he's talking about Barnabas and Saul, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that for a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught many people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. It's noteworthy that these men of God daily instructed the saints in the word of the Lord. Daily, day after day. Some of you that have been to Tres Dias, some of you that have been to seminars or long teaching sessions, understand that there's a building and there's an anointing that builds with when teaching, prophecy is constantly coming forth. The church at Antioch was a unusual church, but there was another church too that was also a preeminence in the Christian world, and that was the church at Jerusalem. The difference was that the church at Jerusalem was all filled with Jewish believers. However, the church at Antioch wasn't. It was a multiracial church. There were many different Greeks. There were Parthians, Jews. Everyone that you could imagine would come to the church at Antioch. And I have to confess something. I listened to Dr. Daniel's message Thursday night. And he said the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm going to use the New American Standard. It was almost like a dagger went into my heart. But he said, the Lord did that. He told me that. Now listen, for all of you, when it comes to Dr. Neal and myself, we're diehard King James Version people. But when God speaks that way, what is he saying? And why is that so important, the word of the Lord that came to the prophet of God? Well, we're going to examine that tonight. Because I had to do a lot of soul searching. I hope you know that, Dr. Neal. A lot of soul searching as I was sweating bullets in the back seat. Sweating bullets. And I know that our dear, dear Dr. Aaron was feeling sorry for me. Poor Dr. Thomas. Poor Dr. Thomas. Because I'm telling you, this Bible that I hold in my hands, I've had for close to 40 years. Read it through close to 200 times. I study it all the time. I love this book. It is in King James Version, God's language. But when I heard the word of the Lord, I could do one of two things as the word of the Lord came tonight. I could be as the tree with the wheat and bend, or I could be stalwart and be broken. As for me and my house, we will bend. We will bend.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't be so thankful right now. Boy, that really bothers me, these thankful people. There's things that God has done in my life that's taken me a while to thank him for. Has that happened to you? You say, Lord, how could this happen? And it's hard to give thanks in that instant, but you do. You learn to do it. Sometimes it's a sacrifice. But I want you to follow with me as I lead you down this pathway tonight, and I will do it as briefly as it allowed. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I know Dr. Aaron is teaching the master's class in Corinthians, so I know this is a review for him. I'm just teasing, because I know he knows the Word of God very well. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's see if I can make sense of the Word of the Lord that Dr. Neal gave. And I would like you to follow along with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 13. Speaking of the world of the Spirit, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In verse 14, and the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It's very difficult. For the years that I go out and win the souls and try to do the things for the kingdom of God by His grace, it's hard sometimes to bring spiritual things to people that are blind, because they have nothing to compare it to. They have nothing to compare it to. But going back to the church at Antioch, which was a multiracial church, what language do you think they spoke? They probably spoke Greek. Is that fair, Dr. Aaron? They probably spoke Hebrew. Maybe Aramaic. Maybe other languages.
Latin.
We know that Pontius Pilate on the cross, it was in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. And it's very common for people that come from the Middle East to speak more than two languages. It's very common. So understand what's happening here. The church at Antioch were called Christians first there. Why not in Jerusalem, where God had poured out His Spirit, where they had the apostolic ministry, the elders, the deacons, everything was set up. But yet, they were first called Christians in Antioch. They were Christ-like. That word Christian means Christ-like. Christ-like. And I thought to myself, I wonder how they taught these people. Did they teach them in Greek or Hebrew? Or when I was learning Spanish and Latin, we called it Splatin or Splinglish for Spanish and English. But I began to realize that this church in Antioch was receiving the word of the Lord. Maybe the New American Standard. Maybe the King James. Maybe another good translation. But the word of the Lord came, and those people in Antioch were changed. They were changed. They rubbed together. I can see that the Jewish believers and the Greek and the heathens, oh, they weren't heathens then, would raise their hands together. And that old tradition that was in the church of Jerusalem was not present in any degree at the church in Antioch. One of the things we watch out for most at Sonship is that we know that certain traditions are good. But when traditions interfere with the moving of the Spirit of God, they're not good. They're not good. May I tell you a little story? Many years ago, I was representing Levi Strauss. How many of you know that company? Any of you that wear denim jeans, you know who they are. I believe I was either in San Francisco or Los Angeles at their plant. I was doing consulting with their staff. And one of the things I asked for was a tour of the facilities. So I went through the manufacturing center. Very interesting. I went through and I saw stacks and stacks of jeans. Beautiful blue denim jeans. And they say, we make these jeans and we send them out all over the country and around the world from here. I said, boy, that is something. And they had a sophisticated system. And then they brought me to another area of that floor. And they showed me a wash machine. And I says, what does that do? He says, that's our money maker. And I said, what does it do? He says, that's a stone washer. A stone washer? He says, what do you do? I'm not a fashion buff. I apologize. I need to go to you ladies for fashion advice. But apparently they take these beautiful denim blue jeans and they put them in this wash machine and they wash them. Then they come out and I says, what do they look like after they're stone washed? He brings me over to a huge stack and they look like they came from Goodwill. They were faded. They had little rips in them. And he says, we make more money through those stone-washed denims than the blue, beautiful denim Levi's. I says, you're kidding. You see, I was so naive at the time that my wife had to smarten me up. I said, I don't know if it was Deaconess Michelle or one of you other ladies were wearing jeans that were stone-washed that had a tear in them. And I didn't know any different. I says, boy, they must be really going through a rough time. Maybe they need a love offering. Come to find out, they're probably richer than me, you know? My understanding was my tradition was wrong. It was wrong. The money maker was in the fashion, which is a trend. Sharon and I periodically will watch PBS and they will have doo-wop music on from the late 50s, the early 60s. Or when they come to the 60s, they'll have rock and roll and they have the 70s and then they have the dance music. And I kind of enjoy some of that music because that's the only stuff I can drum to. I'm not interested in anything after the 90s. But I begin to realize that I have rigor mortis. You know what rigor mortis is? But the church at Antioch did not have rigor mortis. They were as free as the kids. Where's Caleb? Come here, Caleb. Come here, buddy. I don't want to embarrass Caleb, but Caleb is a really unique young man. One thing I notice about these kids, you're smiling at him. One thing I notice about Caleb, and I also notice about the girls as they're dancing over there, is that these kids do things that at his age I would never think of doing. Now I have to confess, at his age I did take ballet. I did take tap dancing. It was very embarrassing to put my ballet shoes in the closet and run out with my football cleats for practice. They call me Goody Two Shoes. But there's something these kids did that they never think twice about. And I would ask you to do the floss. Show them how the floss works.
I already know.
Let's show them the floss. Come on, Cage, put your... Okay, thank you, Cage. You did a great job. You did floss. Thank you.
No, you got it all. It's in here.
Yeah, that's what I thought. You see, they're not embarrassed to dance.
Yeah, yes.
Well, maybe when I pull him up in front of everybody, he's embarrassed.
That's embarrassment right there.
But you realize how much more free our children are than when we were young. Because we were pretty much bound by the way we were raised, our traditions. Since COVID and pre-COVID, haven't you noticed that this world has been set on end? Upside down. The norms are no longer the norms. Can you keep up with it? And the church. God has equipped the church to be able to adjust to change. If I can be the bride of Christ, Michelle can be the Son of God. It's mind-boggling. So when we talk about tradition, we have to ask ourselves, where was tradition least available? It was at the church at Antioch, not at the church at Jerusalem. And because they were freer to flow in the Spirit of God by teaching from Paul, who was called as an apostle to the Gentiles, and Barnabas and the other teachers and elders, they were able to teach the people. And I bet you dollars to donuts, even though Christians don't bet, that Paul probably taught a Bible study in Greek. He probably taught one in Hebrew. He probably taught one in Aramaic. He may have taught them in Parthian or one of the other languages. And people just kind of flowed around. But it was the fact that the Spirit of God was working in the inner man of these people. And God was changing them. When the word of the Lord came to me, the best wine is found in a cluster. No one grape is really alike. We need a bunch of grape heads. We need people to come together because everyone has a flavor. And in that flavor comes the best wine. So when I heard Dr. Neal, who is a diehard King Jim preacher, come out and say, "The Lord spoke to me," I took notice, because I've been with him for 20 years. We have traveled this country doing presbyteries. And I said, "God, what are you saying?" I had two choices. Will I accept the word of the Lord from the man of God? Will I keep my own tradition and my own prejudice? And said, "Lord, blow on me, I will bend." And I did. Now, I'm not advocating the New American Standard, but I am advocating this, that the word of God that we receive, has to be palatable to those that need to hear it.
Yeah.
You see, many of us think that just the Word of God only stays here. It doesn't. It goes over to the world. And we have people in Africa and India that are listening to this. And believe me, they are not King James scholars. Some of them have great difficulty even with the New American Standard. So, a learning lesson for me. And I want to show you rigor mortis. And I want to talk to you just basically for a few minutes about the natural church, or the traditional church, and the spiritual church. As for me in my house, I want to be a part of Sonship as a spiritual church, not as a natural church. I want us to be able to compare spiritual things with spiritual. I want us to be able to understand spiritual things and relate it to spiritual things. All you have to do is listen to Deaconess Rachel. If you're not comparing spiritual with spiritual, you are lost. So, would you please go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want us to be the church of Antioch. I want to be called a Christian. I want to live as a Christian. How about you? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And Paul begins to write to the Corinthian church in verse 11. He says, "Be you followers of me, even as I am of Christ. Now I praise you, brother, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Bless God. "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head." How is he speaking? He's speaking as a traditional Jew to the Jews at Corinth.
Right.
"For every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head." So, you're going to have to get a stovepipe hat, I guess, according to this. Wouldn't that be funny? "For that is even all one as she were shaved. For if the woman be not covered, let her be shaved." And I know you ladies don't want to get shaved. "But if it's a shame for a woman to be shorn or unshaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. Amen. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Boy, I like this preaching. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Hear that, woman? The woman for the man. Oops. I'm getting real excited here. Real excited. This is a good traditional Christian that is preaching here. Where did I leave off before I dropped my glasses?
Verse 10.
Verse 10.
For this cause ought the woman to be covered on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman. Now you're starting to backslide here. Neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Uh-oh. Paul's backsliding. For as the woman is of the man, even so the man also by the woman. But all things of God. Judging yourself, it is seemly that a woman pray uncovered. Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman have a long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given her for a covering. And then the big but. I hate this but. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have, and say it with me, we have no such custom, neither in the churches of God. He gives us this long sermon on traditional church. And then he clips it by saying, but if that isn't your cup of tea, fine. Therefore, we have a woman pastor. We have women deaconesses. We have women prophetesses.
Boom.
We have these things that are powerful. Can we be flexible enough? Can I be flexible enough to realize that God's word is his word and it's the spirit that quickens the word? I will always keep, Dr. Aaron, King James Bible in my back pocket. But I recognize that when we're not only speaking to this body, but we're speaking to many others, that we have to make the Word of God understood. And if they cannot understand words such as, and one of the favorite ones is conversation, which in the King James has a different connotation than just conversation, talks about actions. Or lip clap, which is kissing. If people don't understand the word, how will they first be called Christians at Antioch? There was a big row about this in Acts 15. There were the Judaizer Christians, and there was the Christians that were from the Gentiles. And there was a fight that the Christians had to keep the traditions of the Jews. And Paul says, no, 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 no. And they said, yes, 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 yes. No, no, no. And so what had to happen? The apostles and the brethren had to come together. And they had to deal with the subject, how are we to instruct? How are we to instruct the churches? And it was James who stood up and said, he was going to restore the tabernacle of David that has fallen down and build up its ruins. What does that mean? It means that the New American Standard people and the King James people can come together. Yeah. If we're praising the Lord, we have the Spirit of God in our midst. God is looking in these last days for a people that will love him so much that we're willing to get our heads shorn. Yeah. Or we let it grow long. What difference does it make? I'm not quoting St. Hilary, but I'm telling you,
oh dear.
The judge of all the earth is looking for his word to go across the earth as the ocean covers the sea.
Amen.
So, Dr. Neal, thank you. Dr. Aaron, thank you. I have rocks. I need to go through the stone washer. So I can have your jeans where they're a little torn and they're all faded. And you'll charge me double, I know. but it is difficult to change. But I ask the Lord Jesus Christ to pour out His oil upon me. Bring His wonderful oil into my pores, that I might be flexible enough to receive Him. And that means that I have got to be able to go to any man, woman, and child and to receive them where they are. Right. That I have to see every person as Jesus sees them.
Right.
And I better be very careful touching one of those people
that He loves.
That's a hard lesson for me. Know-it-alls always have a hard problem with these things. But I will bend my neck and praise the Lord, because I want to be, as the Church of Antioch, I would like to be a Christian. May the blessings of Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, rest upon each and every one of you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He lift His countenance upon you and grant you peace in Jesus' name.